Welcome to the You've Got to Read This podcast, which is part of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library digital branch. In these recordings, we discuss books we think you're really going to want to check out. For this episode, our theme will be Mistakes That Have Been Made. I'm Cameron, a librarian at University City Regional Library, and I will be discussing The Late Bloomer's Revolution by Amy Cohen.
I'm Christy, a children's librarian at Morrison Mutual Library, and I'm going to talk about Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me by Carol Tavris and Elliot Aronson.
And I'm Kate Hill, a library assistant at the University City Regional Library, and I will be talking about The Professor and the Madman, a tale of murder, insanity, and the making of the Oxford English Dictionary by Simon Winchester. You can find these titles through the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library catalog. Go to cmlibrary.org and choose the green catalog button. So I'm talking about The Professor and the Madman, which actually will be a movie soon, so you should definitely read the book before you see the movie. It's really an interesting book. It's not my usual type. I got assigned to it, actually, initially in high school, and I didn't read it. So later I went back.
Everybody has a few of those on their list.
There was a book challenge, and one of the challenges was to read a book you had been assigned but had not read, and I chose this, and I'm so glad that I did finally read it because it was engrossing. This man, he's American, he was in the Civil War, and he was a doctor in the Civil War, and he goes to England, and he does not realize how unwell he is. He does not know that he has, you know, through trauma and unfortunate circumstances, become clinically paranoid. And so he thinks that someone is trying to steal from him, and he chases this man into the street and commits murder. And that is kind of where our tale starts. But it's also with the workings of the Oxford English Dictionary, because he goes on to contribute a great deal to the Oxford English Dictionary and its creation. And that might sound like the whole book, but it is really just the basis of how the tale unfolds. And these two men who become very intertwined in each other's lives.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty big mistake. But also, like, he ended up still contributing something important afterwards.
Yeah, he ends up in an asylum. And he has a lot of time on his hands, and he ends up creating something really wonderful, or at least helping to in a very big way.
Asylums weren't great back then.
No, and it is interesting to read about that as well. There's definitely some, you can see how far the medical community has come in terms of treating psychological disorders. There really was no hope for him. As far as rehabilitation or being a part of the real world, even if he hadn't been imprisoned, essentially. So he's kept locked away. But people kind of feel sorry for him. He is in a sort of a sad place. And so he's given a lot of sympathy. And the Simon Winchester, who writes the book, has a lot of sympathy for him as well. And he's treated with care as a person becoming part of this tale.
When does the movie come out?
I'm not sure, but I think it's actually quite soon, in the next year or so. Yeah. You should be seeing the trailers shortly.
Are there any big names attached to this movie?
Yeah, so the madman, Dr. William Chester Minor, is being played by Sean Penn. And James Murray, who was greatly involved in the Oxford English Dictionary, is played by Mel Gibson.
Cool.
And Natalie Dormer is attached as well, and I love her.
So we can expect a long holds list pretty fast. So
we really should. It's a great book.
So definitely put it on hold now, because you've got it here first. If you haven't already heard about this movie, you should definitely
If you haven't read it, check it out. It's for sure. You've got to read this.
Awesome. Well, the one that I am talking about today is Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me. And the subtitle on that is Why We Justify Foolish Beliefs, Bad Decisions, and Hurtful Acts by Carol Tavris and Elliot Aronson. And it is all about why we try to dodge responsibility for our own mistakes, and we say they weren't mistakes in the first place, so, you know, it wasn't even a problem. Why is there endless quarrels in a relationship about who's right over something? Why do people and public figures have to apologize all the time when they really don't give good apologies are really bad at apologizing, and why is that? And it's like, how can we see others' hypocrisy but not in our own lives? So it's all about those little funny psychological things that we do to protect our own ego and protect who we see ourselves as, which is usually basically good people. We see ourselves as the heroes of our own story and not the villains in anybody else's, which you never know. It could be somebody else's villain.
How we see ourselves is not always the way other people ending up seeing us, for better or for worse.
Yeah. One of the examples in here is, why do kids who are being bullied in school have other kids, A, not stand up for the kid that's being bullied, and B, actually start participating in the bullying themselves? Why does that happen? Well, it turns out that there's this funny little psychological trick that your mind does, where if you see something bad happen to somebody and you don't feel like you're in a power position to do something about it, maybe, but you feel like, if I was a good person, I would do something about it. Instead, what you do is you switch it and say, the person who is having this done to them must have deserved it. Mm-hmm. They must have done something to deserve it. And so you become part of the problem, because you look at that other person and say, well, yeah, they're just a jerk. They're a loser. They're just, you know, they always come to school with their shoes untied and their clothes dirty. You know, that's their own fault for being that way, and they deserve being teased like that. So that's what happens, is you switch it. So like, I'm not a bad person for participating in this negative action. And it's a negative social action to treat people that way. I'm sure a few of us have experienced that.
Yeah. I've read some about that happening with victims in general, especially women who've been like assaulted or something along those lines, where juries think, well, this happened because they must have deserved it. And it's really interesting to see it happen, not only in like big cases, but little things too. It's such a broad thing that our mind does. And how do we, because it's automatic, how do we notice that and change it?
Yeah. The victim blaming is rampant in society in a lot of different ways. You know, how did the people that are being oppressed in another country, they're no good because they didn't appropriately take over the government? Well, guess what? There's a lot of soldiers and other things in place.
It's
not on that, on the people that live there necessarily all the time to fix it in a, you know, happy, healthy way.
Does a psychological analysis relate back to narcissism?
It sometimes, yes. It does cover some people who are very, very protective of their own ego, because they see themselves as really super good, and so absolutely nothing, they can't accept that anything negative about themselves could happen, possibly, at all, ever.
Right.
And so they are a lot more likely to lash out when somebody attacks that self-image by saying that they did something wrong. It also talks about this very interesting phenomenon where men who have been accused of adultery or some other gross misconduct in office, they have to go on TV and apologize for their families, and I'm going to take some time off to care for my family. And in these conferences, you can see that they do this little action. It's called a lip press. And it's kind of an interesting sign of guilt and shame, but it's also like, in some ways, refusing to say how they really feel about the situation. Next time you, because there's always going to be a politician going on TV to apologize for their mistakes. Next time you see one of those, take a look and see if you can see this famous lip press. But there's a lot of different implications in these cognitive biases. And if you are somebody who reads this book and says, oh, I can totally see this in everybody around me, I need to give this book to other people, you are definitely one of the people that needs to read the book. So definitely check it out. It's really good, and you'll find it really interesting, and you'll be thinking not only from my own personal experience, but all the way up to how it impacts society as a whole.
Right.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk about The Late Bloomer's Revolution by Amy Cohen. And Amy Cohen was a writer for television shows like Caroline in the City and Spin City, if you remember those shows. And much like Kate, this is a book that I was not, it would be not be something that I would normally read, but I was doing a display in the library on memoirs, and I just happened upon it, and I thought, well, it looks kind of interesting. And really, it's just a take on how we're always trying to, we don't always have the answers, but we're trying to kind of shape our life in a certain way, and we don't always get there as fast as we want to. So we make mistakes, we kind of reevaluate ourselves, and we don't always get there in the time that I think society wants us to. And the author, Amy Cohen, she says, "I like to consider myself a late bloomer, meaning someone who will eventually, however late, come into bloom, although when and if I will bloom remains a mystery. I wish I knew how to speak a foreign language fluently. I wish I knew how to cook a simple roast chicken, or that I had read The Idiot, whose main character sounds like someone I can relate to." So really, it's just, it's a really good take on that you don't always have to have all the answers right away. You don't always have to meet expectations that everyone sets for you. And you can find your own path at some point. We all hope for that. And it's going to happen someday, hopefully. But she really doubted herself. And she really thought things weren't happening in her life as far as relationships, or not just in a love relationship, but also in family relationships. Her mom was sick with cancer, and her dad had been seeing other people, not during the same time, but he was dating a lot of women and just wasn't finding his path, I guess, too. So she kind of related all of this in her own life to say, well, what, you know, reflecting on herself, what's happening and how can I kind of find myself? And so she ends up kind of going and that reanalyzing and kind of finding what she needs to do differently.
You know, you talk about somebody who's written for TV shows and is now writing a book, and here she is saying, I feel like I haven't become myself yet. I haven't yet found my way. And I mean, by success standards, it sounds like she's been quite successful. It's really eye-opening to see that the feeling that I haven't gotten there yet is so universal.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I really find it interesting that you can make a lot of different twists and turns over the course of your whole life. And you might think that, oh, you know, it's too late for me because, you know, oh, society says I should have done such and such by this age. But there's always the possibility of something new coming around the corner, and everything that you do in your life can contribute to something new. It gives you new skills. So even your mistakes really contribute to moving forward.
Exactly.
It sounds like she has a good sense of humor, too. Did that come
she
through?
She does. Yes, that came through a lot. And just her take on a lot of the situations her dad faced when he was dating a variety of people. And then even her mom with her cancer and dealing with that. Her mom was kind of this person that would always look at things in a different way. So she reflected back on the humor of those situations. So, yeah, definitely a lot of humor as well.
I do love a good funny book.
I do, too.
Even if it's serious, I like a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, a sense of humor when times are dark can get you really far.
It's a good way to twist those mistakes into something new and better.
Exactly. It's a great, great self-help type book, too, as well. Even though it's her own memoir, we can all reflect on it and kind of say that it's an inspiration that, like Christy mentioned, you don't always have to have the answers right away, and there might be something just around the corner.
Awesome.
Wow. Thank you very much for joining us today. You can find the titles we talked about today. We talked about The Late Bloomer's Revolution by Amy Cohen. We talked about Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me by Carol Tavris and Elliot Aronson. And we talked about The Professor and The Madman by Simon Winchester. And you can go to the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library catalog, cmlibrary.org, and choose the green catalog button. You can search by title, author, keyword, and you'll see all the available formats, print, ebooks, audiobooks. If it's not at your branch, you can place a hold and have it sent there.
Thank you for joining us for You've Got to Read This. We hope we've given you a good discussion and some ideas for new material to read. Look for upcoming episodes on the digital branch at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. Scroll down to the button that says Listen Now for You've Got to Read This. Please visit the library's website at cmlibrary.org. Don't forget to check out the library's catalog and resources pages. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, #CMLibrary and @CMLibrary.